ever ridden the Great American Scream Machine at Six Flags? And you kids, look around. There are adults who've ridden that thing around here too, you know, very much. The Dahlonega Mine Train, is that still there? I hadn't been a while, but remember that's that, you'd ride that? I did some research on the Great American Scream Machine. And I went back, and that thing actually started when I was in college. It was introduced in the summer of 1973, the Six Flags. And as a kid in college, let me tell you what, that was on the news in Atlanta everywhere you went, that the Great American Scream Machine was coming to Atlanta. And then on top of that, they started putting down the statistics. Kind of reminded me of the safety of sitting right over here in this chair a few minutes ago. 3,800 feet of wooden track, because that was a wooden roller coaster. Big time. Speeds running then at over 55 mile an hour, and for 1973 in a roller coaster, that was fast, folks. Y'all remember that? We used to get on that thing, you know? At one point, it was Earth's tallest roller coaster, standing 10 and a half stories tall, and it's been ridden since its inception in 1973 by over 40 million plus people. Wow. I remember the first time I rode that thing. I was short and skinny then. And you know, you sat in that thing, you guys remember that, and they put that bar over you. You know, not the harness, but the bar. And you know you're fixed to go down that big hill right there, and when it tops, just like you do, and you're going to be weightless when you go down that hill for about 6 or 7 seconds to get down to the bottom of it. And I get to looking, and of course you get to look. You see this thing from afar off, and you see the pictures of it, and it's exciting, it's amazing. And then you get up close to it, and you look at that high 10-and-a-half story drop. Maybe I need to rethink this. You know, y'all just go ahead. Maybe I just need to rethink that. There was a spirit of fear that got all over me that day. I'll never forget. But now I'm with my friends, you know. Peer pressure was quite strong, to say the least. And, of course, after it's all said and done, we all went back and we think about that. Every one of us were scared to death before we ever got on the thing. There was a fear to a certain degree because the thing was just overwhelming. And I remember that first drop over that top hill as you're moving up. And you're right, we're doing this number. Oh, I think I better hold on. Why am I putting my hands up in the air? I'm crazy to do this, but I'm going to go ahead and do it like everybody else is doing it no matter what. And then the minute you drop over that hill, what's your first reaction? It's to grab onto the bar. We didn't. We did this number all the way down, became weightless, and all the loops and turns and everything. My point is, despite my fear, I rode it. And I tell y'all what, I can remember in my college years, I had the ride of my life with the Great American Scream Machine. This year in Vacation Bible School, we're talking about Paul. Paul that had the ride of his life. If there was ever a man that had hills to climb and that he, whoa, I got to go over this thing and go down it. And then the loop-de-loops that his life went on, the things that Paul himself went through in his life can be so compared to that first roller coaster ride when you see all that you have to do. And folks, we're living in a world today that's just simply afraid. There is fear. There is fear around us everywhere we go. You can't turn on the news today in this county or in this city or in the city of Atlanta and not see where the last shooting took place. Whether it's in the city of Atlanta, whether it's in DeKalb, whether it's in Cobb, whether it's in Fulton, whether it's in Gwinnett, it doesn't matter. We're all right here together. And people are facing and seeing that fear everywhere we go. And then I remember that roller coaster when I stood there right on that concrete as you're looking out to the Scream Machine. Y'all remember that? You go down and you get in the queue line and you get ready. Well, I get in that queue line. It was full. We were all the way up the hill, down the side, those arcades. I don't know if that stuff's still there, but I remember all that right there. And I'm backed up to the arcade. So, folks, I got about 2 miles, I think, worth of walking. And I'm sitting here doing this. And every eye, I watched everybody, and you too, who've never ridden that thing, you'll watch that whole thing. Let's just see what it's going to do. You know, you're going to keep your eye on that thing and see where it's going to go, no matter what. That's what Paul did, folks. Bible says he was on his way to Damascus to do what the Roman government told him to do, and that's get rid of the Christians. His number one passion was to kill them, murder them. He'd had before. So you know the story of what happened to Paul on the road to Damascus. His life was completely changed forever and ever and ever. And things turned around for Paul. He knew something then. And then when he sat down with Timothy, I love the book of Timothy. And I love Paul's words to his young protege, Timothy. Now, he refers to him as his son oftentimes in the book. Perhaps not a blood-related son. But I'm going to tell you, make no mistake about it, folks. Paul loved Timothy like his own son. And he sat down with him and he mentored Timothy. And he sat with him and he even told Timothy later on that, you know, my life, talking about Paul, is about to be over with. I'm going to be poured out as a drink offering. And I'm going to die. Remember what Paul said to Timothy? He says, I fought a good fight. I faced, remember those words? So here's Paul sitting down with Timothy. And then we read the scripture we just read and recited a few minutes ago. It's in your bulletin. It's also on the screen for you right now. For God has not given us, he said to Timothy, a spirit of fearfulness, but of power, of love, and sound judgment. So this morning, in just a few brief minutes before we come to a prayer time in praying for our VBS right down front, we close this service, I wanted to walk you through these four words: fearfulness, power, love, and sound judgment, and what those words have to say for all of us. Now, we've got a message this week, folks, to teach the kids in this community. And I hope in these next few minutes I can share with you some things that you may not have seen before and may shed some new light on this scripture as well, especially in light of this theme for VBS from Lifeway in terms of what it means. Such an up and down, such a loop-de-loop, such a rough life sometimes. But despite all what you may see, despite all of what you may experience, God is still on the throne. He's in control. And somehow we need to assure these children, these kids, that God is alive and well, that God is acting in what we're doing, and that he can see his handiwork. You folks have prepared. You have put together. This place has been like little beavers all over this house. Over the last week, people have been here moving furniture, putting up all kind of decorations. You have spent hours upon hours upon hours just getting your rooms ready. That doesn't count all the preparation. And then in addition to you all who've done that physical preparation, so many of you have brought by everything from toilet paper, empty toilet paper rolls, to boxes, to you name it, to everything we could possibly need, Karen, for VBS, and we've got it all stacked and put away and ready, and it will be used through this week. And then so many of you, if not all of you in this house, have been praying for Vacation Bible School. But let me walk you through these four words, because I think they are super, super important for how we must communicate with children, but also how we must communicate with every one of us. So walk with me. I've got your outline. It's in front of you if you want to fill that out. It's a very simple outline. I've just put some words in there that I hope you may be able to pick up and understand very quickly. And here are those four words. The first word in the scripture is what word? Starts with an F. Fearfulness. Fearfulness. Now let me show you this word. This word in the Greek is a little word that we pronounce dalia. Dalia. There's the way you write it in English. There it is in the Greek. D-E-I-L-I and alpha. That's how it's written. That word is not phobeo, phobia. Word we get our word terrified, fear. When you have a phobeo, you are terrified. You have a fear. Sometimes in its context, the word phobeo can refer to the awe of God. But for the most part, phobeo always refers to human fear. This is not the word used in this scripture. So God is not saying, I haven't given you a spirit of terrified fear. Okay, Randy, don't keep me out. Tell me what he's given us. This word Deliah, or Deliah, you can pronounce it pretty much either way. I think the actual, what we can say, Koine Greek, which is Southern Greek, for lack of a better term, pronunciation of that is Deliah, literally means a state of fear as a result of a lack of courage or moral strength. In other words, it's acting like a coward. Deliah infers that there is a lack of faithfulness in that person's life. So he's saying to Timothy, God hasn't given you the spirit of being a coward, of timidity, of standing back, of not being bold. God hasn't put that kind of spirit in your life. Because God says, Timothy, I have created you to be bold, not like a coward. Well, Joshua, remember God's word to Joshua last week? What the choir sang and what we sang, be strong and of good courage. This word here, fear, is fearfulness. It is the very fact of not fear from the standpoint of being terrified or afraid, but fear that causes you to shrink back and not act. It causes you to turn the other way no matter what. The fear, literally, as it says, of acting like a coward. Stop and think about that with me, folks. Have you ever been afraid for any reason? Yeah, everybody in this house is shaking their head. We've all been afraid. Bible says, God says, yes, there is fear. But you can be sure that God did not give you a spirit of phobeo, of that kind of fear, nor did God give you a spirit in your life of being and acting like one who cannot ever be bold in what he does. What's the Lord say about prayer? Come boldly to the throne of grace. Don't come to me like a wimp. Come to me boldly. Ask boldly. And that's what God is saying to Timothy. Timothy, God has not given you the spirit of acting like a coward. Make sure your focus and your trust is on me. That's the whole idea of the roller coaster, folks. If we cannot trust God completely, then our lives become a life filled with Deliah. A life filled with the very fact that you shrink back, that you hold back, that you turn back away from anything that would cause not physical harm so much to you, but the very fact that your space is being invaded, that your life and who you are is being invaded. And God says, you stand up, you stand firm, you be strong, you take courage. And that's what we're teaching children this week, folks. God hadn't given even these little children that spirit of that kind of fear. But what has he given us? And then, boy, Timothy just kind of lays the law down Paul lays the law down to Timothy when he says in the second place the word power. I can just hear Timothy. Now, Paul, okay, God hadn't given me that kind of spirit you told me about. Well, what kind of spirit has he given me? The word spirit in the Greek is a little word called pneuma, we pronounce. And it means literally what it says. It is a word that refers to the very fact of the action of God in your life. The Holy Spirit, the very fact of the holiness of God as to who God is in your life. And now God is saying, I'm not giving you that spirit of Deliah in your life, but what I am giving you is the spirit of power. Now, in the Greek, let me show you that word right here. That's dunamis. Delta in the Greek, U-N-A-M. That's an M, believe it or not, in the Greek. I, iota, if you've ever seen that. And the sigma, when it's ever on the end of a word, it writes like a weird-looking S. The other times, it writes like an O with a little thing on the top of it. Dunamis, dunamis, dunamis. What's that sound like, dunamis? Let me think. Dunamis. Dynamite. That's where we get our word dynamite from. Comes straight from that word right there. It means explosive power. It means that would have you all ever seen on TV or been close to near one of these things of an implosion of a building? Now, an implosion by its very definition of what? It is exploded from what? Within. And the whole building comes down in the center. That's not dunamis. And that's an incredible power. What dunamis is an explosive power that's willing to be shared. It's an explosive power that says, okay, here is who I am as a child of God, but God has given me the capability in my life to be an explosive power in this universe. The power, the dunamis of God. This word is also used, that of a servant, from the standpoint of a soldier and the power that that soldier possesses. It's more of like might, per se. But dunamis is that explosive power. God has given you that power. Now, what power are we talking about? God turned you into a Superman? No. But God has given you, folks, a spiritual power. Many of you in this room have gone through things in the last 7-8 years I've been your pastor. And I'm telling you, if you didn't have the dunamis of God in your life, you wouldn't be sitting here right now. That kind of power is a God thing. The world can experience dunamis. It's a God-given gift to the child of God. So God says, you know, I didn't give you Delia. That's not me. I'm telling you what, I gave you power, and I have given you that kind of explosive power where it's evident around everybody. When an explosion happens, everybody knows about it, right? Some of us were alive on October 31st. I can't remember the actual date. Mr. S.A. White, who paid for a lot of the building of this church, S.A. White Oil Company, was killed in the explosion at Atherton Drugstore in Cobb and Marietta. Some of you all here remember that. I remember living on South Cobb Drive and feeling the impact of that explosion. And we as a church remember sensing that impact by Mr. S.A.'s life and others who were lost. But what happened with that explosion? Did it implode? Did Atherton Drugstore go where nobody could see other than it was destroyed from the inside? No. When the gas exploded in the Atherton Drugstore, what happened? Atherton Drugstore went all over the square of Cobb County. That's the power of dunamis. This type power is unrelenting. It is the power that God puts on you. It's the power that God gives to you that says absolutely nothing on this earth will ever defeat you. Man, that ought to excite the child of God. If God hadn't put that spirit of being like a coward in your life, but boy, he's given you a spirit of power, of dunamis, that is absolutely beyond anything we never imagined. I love, Karen, to be able to teach that based on this thing. I think it's incredible. The third word, love. Third word is love. Now, there are words used in the New Testament for love. There's philia, which is a very brotherly love. Jimmy Brown, I love Jimmy Brown as my brother. Philia love, it's a brotherly love. There's another word that's not used in the New Testament. It's called eros. It's where we get our word erotic. Doesn't mean it's a bad word. You're not supposed to use it. It just refers to the sexual love between husband and wife. There's another word used for familial love, a family love between brother and sister and brother and brother and sister and sister. But none of those words are the words that's used right here. Anybody have any idea what the name of this word is in Greek? What is it? Agape. Let me write it up there for you. Alpha? Gamma, Alpha, Pi, and Eta. Y'all remember the Pi? A, G, A, P. And that looks like an N and looks weird as an Eta. It has an A sound. And it's pronounced agape. And it's God's absolute, unconditional, in spite of love. How can I love Karen Harrison? There's only one way. Because God loved me first and gave me that ability to love her. And I'm using Karen as an example for everybody in here. The only way you can ever even attempt as a child of God to know how to love is God gave you that ability. And folks, that ability in a world of children dealing with bullying, dealing with everything that happens in school, this is one incredible word here. Because that word doesn't mean to stand there and simply act like the wimp, the coward, but it means to stand firm, be strong, as the scriptures say. God's giving you that kind of love that no matter what, no matter what the circumstances, no matter what people do or try to do, agape forgives. Agape is God's love, not your love. There is no equivalent human word to translate agape. We call it love. I did that for the sake of identification. But folks, there is no way. You cannot translate agape other than God's unconditional, in spite of love for you and for me. And then there's a fourth word. Well, I put it in a statement, but it's actually one word. The fourth word, or the statement that Paul said, power and love, King James says sound mind. Literally, sound judgment. Put that in your outline for number four. Sound judgment. The Greek word is an interesting word. I want to show it to you right here. I wrote it where we can understand it and try to pronounce it too. Sophronismos. Doesn't even sound like anything that sounds normal, you know, in terms of the English. But that word is sophronismos. Well, it's a very interesting word, and it's peculiar to the Greek, in particular Koine Greek, and it's the ability to make wise decisions under God's authority. The word also means that you remain teachable. When people think they've learned everything there is to learn, then the teachability goes out the door. God has given us a spirit to continue, to hang in there, to act responsible under God, to be sensible and just, and use good spiritual sense. Now, God has entrusted Timothy with a sound mind, a spirit of self-control or self-discipline, and his mind was to be disciplined in the sense, should we say, that it's not to be shaken by any intimidation that Satan would throw at you. Folks, how do we need to hear that in this day and time? That's the type of decision-making God has given to me and you. In other words, that decision-making doesn't consult God last. It consults God what? First. And that's what God, in that little verse, Paul is sitting there with Timothy. And he says, Timothy, God's given you the ability in your life to make wise spiritual decisions. How are you and I going to make wise spiritual decisions? How are these children going to learn to make wise spiritual decisions? You keep your focus on God. You read and study and this understand as His Word, the Word of God, that is sharper than any two-edged sword, that is able to pierce to the very center of your bone and convict and reprove in your own life together. God's given you the ability for sound judgment. Sophronismos in the Greek. To have an understanding about practical matters will be sound in your judgment. Wow. For God has not given us the spirit of fearfulness, but of power, love, and sound judgment. I want to close by going back to that word spirit. That word spirit literally is the word pneuma. If you go back to the book of Genesis, God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Man became a living soul, nephesh. God breathed. Stay with me for just a second. Septuagint is the Greek translation of the Old Testament. Go back and look at the second chapter of Genesis and you read that. You will find that word breathe, air, wind. In the Hebrew is the word ruach. Guttural sound like the wind. But when they translate that into the Septuagint, that is the Greek, the Hebrew into the Greek, the word pneuma, spirit. God has not given you a spirit of fearfulness. God hasn't breathed, given you wind. He hasn't breathed that kind of life into you. But what God has breathed into you as a child of God, and folks, man, this will excite your socks off when you hear it like this. What happens? God has breathed into you power. It's been breathed. And the word for breath here, the word for spirit, means a breath like this. It doesn't mean just sit here and breathe. It means an intentional breath. When Michael and Bethany were young and we had their birthday parties and we had their birthday candles on their cake, what did they do when they learned how to blow real quickly? They blew out those candles. Most of the time, all of them. But they had to go to do it. That's the wind. That's the breath. That's the pneuma. So now, let me go back. God has not given us a spirit, has not breathed upon us fearfulness. Eliah, the Leah. But God has breathed upon us dunamis, power. Agape, God's incredible unconditional love. And sophronismos, the ability to make good, strong, spiritual decisions under the authority of God. As we say at Southern Seminary, that'll preach. And it did. One incredible, incredible verse. Teachers, I do envy you in being able to teach this week. I'm telling you, what a message to be able to share with you. That is exciting. Today I want us to close our service in a very different way. We always close with an invitation, and Matthew and I and Daniel will be down front here in just a minute to receive you anything that this becomes our altar of prayer, and I say that every Sunday. But I want us to close our time of worship just praying for VBS, and I know you've been praying, everybody in this house, but there are a lot of these shirts on today as well, and there are a lot of folks that are not wearing them that still are working in VBS and whatever. I want you to do me a favor. First, I want you to stand to your feet first. Would you do that? If you are working in VBS in any capacity, in any way, form, or fashion, we want to just say a specific prayer for you this week as you minister to kids, as we start tonight and go through Thursday night, and then our family night at 6 o'clock on Friday night. I want us all just to gather down here. If some of you can't, that's okay. You sit right where you are. You don't need to come. But those of you who can, let's just come gather right here, right now. Would you do that? All of those that are working in VBS, Daniel is going to come, and in just a minute, he's going to lead us in this time of prayer. And maybe as these are coming, and we're going to be praying for VBS, somebody in your own and you've been considering joining or being a part of Olive Springs, then we want you to come as well. And Matthew and I will be right here, and Daniel will get a chance to talk to you as well. A lot of folks that are going to be and are working in Vacation Bible School. And you all continue to pray for safety this week, and continue to pray that the gospel of Jesus Christ will go forth from this place. God's giving us an exciting opportunity. You folks can be seated out there as we come to a time of just prayer and praying and remembering. And as Karen said just a minute ago, when you leave today on your way out, we're not doing the prayer walk that we've done in the years past. However, if you want to leave and walk through your Sunday school class, I can assure you it's been transformed. And go take a look. And as you're in there, say a little extra prayer for the kids and all that will be in that room tonight throughout this week as we minister to them, okay? Let's pray together. Daniel, I want you to. Daniel's our deacon of the week this week, and he's going to come and close out our service with prayer. I want to remind our VBS folks that if you've taken care of your lunch reservations, all of you will be eating downstairs in just a few minutes, and then we can finish up this afternoon and get ready for our kids to be here at 6 o'clock tonight. Daniel, pray for us, my brother.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you so much, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity you've given us to come here today, this serve others. Father God, I pray, lift up this team of workers, of volunteers, Father God, that have given up of themselves, given up of their time and what they could be doing at home or at work or other things, Father God, that they've come here just to lay it all down for you, Lord, that you'll be glorified in all the work that they do. Lord, I pray that you'll just use every bit of them, use their mind, use their mouth, use the words that come out of them, Father. May they become from, may these words that they teach and preach this week, Lord, may it come from you, Father God. Lord, I pray that you'll give them boldness as they teach, Lord. I pray that you'll give them compassion to just love on these children, Lord. What an opportunity to have the community come here to Olive Springs, Father God. Lord, it's my prayer, Lord, that every child that comes here today, Lord, is going to hear your message, is going to hear your word, Lord, and those words are going to come through the vessels that are here today, Father God, through the students, through the volunteers, through the teachers, through the adults, Lord. Father God, I pray for those who are going to be praying for Olive Springs workers, for the volunteers, Lord. I lift up those who are going to be traveling here from Tifton, Father God. I pray that you'll give them safe travel. Lord, I pray that in the weeks that they've been preparing to come here, Father God, that you prepared their hearts, Lord, and that they will receive their reward, Father God, for coming here and for working so hard, Lord, and just for giving of themselves so that you'll be glorified, Father God. We thank you for them, Lord, as we know what it's like to go out and be a volunteer, to be a missionary. Lord, let this be their mission field this week, Lord, and protect them, Father God. Lord, I pray that your word is just going to be preached throughout the week, Father God, Lord, and your word is going to be blessed, Father God, into their hearts, into the children that are coming here, into the adults as well, Father God, to the parents and the families of those who are coming here this week, Father God. I pray, Father God, that some will come to know you, to know your son Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, Father God. I just lift that up to you, that request, Lord, that of all that's going on this week, Father God, that someone will come to know you, Father God. Bless these people. Protect these people. Protect our brothers and sisters in Christ that we have here, Father God. Bless our family, Lord, that we have in one another, in your son Jesus' name, Father God. This is what we ask. Amen.
Sing it with me. Lead me, Lord, I will follow. Stand with me, won't you? Lead me, Lord, I will go. I will answer.